about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
This is a huge release. Everyone's talking about it. You could find that all the media is talking about it. There's the hype. Everyone's hyping it up. It's going crazy here. You could see the line already wrapped around the building. It's going nuts.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I would like to say thank you, graduates, for that warm welcome. I would also like to apologize to all the parents who are sitting there saying, Will Ferrell, why Will Ferrell? I hate Will Ferrell. I hate him. I hate his movies. He's gross. Although he's much better looking in person. Has he lost weight? By the way, that discussion is happening out there right now.
And now.
He's a bat. Bat. He's a boy. Boy. Bat boy. Bat boy. Bat boy.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 4th of December.
First of all, I miss Bat Boy. First of all.
Okay.
Does the Weekly World News exist in any digital form?
I don't think so.
It's just gone.
Yeah, I think it's gone.
Oh.
That's a
and
sad
journalism day. Is worse for it. I'll
it's
tell you
a
that.
Sad day.
Hey, I know we have a lot to get to, but I need Kevin and Allie to sit this part of the conversation out. This is just for those of us on the calendar reorganization committee.
Oh, yeah.
We had a conversation last week for folks who weren't with us. Jensen and I have decided that when we get the power to, we are going to redistribute the days of the months. To make it make more sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's so willy-nilly the way it's put together right now.
If we don't do it, someone has to.
Exactly. Yes, it needs to be done. You know, my initial complaint was that November should have 31 days, just like October and December do. But Jensen has his own thoughts about February, very passionate about
Why
February.
Why is this happening?
If you don't mind myself, though, Bean, let me just ask one question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It has to be daylight saving. Mm-hmm. But the months have had those same number of days for... Who knows how long? It's
long
just
time.
The way it is.
Hey, Bean, real quick question. Did you say that they should sit it out? I forget if you said that.
I actually did.
Oh.
So we have a petition, Jensen, from a Kevin and Bean listener who actually brings up a pretty good point. I'm wondering how we need to handle this.
Gosh.
I'm sorry I don't have the email in front of me, but she says because everybody is so wiped out after the holidays, January drags.
Yeah.
January is the worst month for a lot of people. It's, you know, many parts of the country, it's bad weather. It's cold. You're broke. You just want to get through January and start enjoying yourself with February again. So she's requesting if we could trim a few days off of January. And I was wondering how you feel about that, because I think she makes a pretty good point.
Right. So she feels it's the come down,
mm-hmm.
and she wants to have the hangover a little less.
That's right.
Well, I'm in.
All right. Could I ask another question?
Oh, boy. This guy again.
This guy, you don't even. If you're not even registered to vote in this.
In this topic.
Yeah. All right. What do you?
Well, I'm just going to say that if you make January fewer days, it's not going to change anything because it's still whatever hangover you have from December.
No, because your mood changes when January is over because January is a crappy month. If it gets to February, that's a sign. Hey, we're out of the post holiday depression.
Mm-hmm. Closer to summer. Closer to doing it all over again.
Closer to Valentine's Day.
Yep.
And we wanted to add some February days anyway. That seems like the perfect place to take them.
She really did come up with the solution.
Yeah. Less January, more February. That's what I'm running on.
It's a great idea. And I feel like if we needed to have another person join our committee, I think we found her.
Yeah, absolutely. She could definitely be an advisor.
Not Allie or I?
No, you guys are haters.
Okay. Yeah, you guys don't.
God, you're dumb.
Let me know when you guys meet, and I'll make you some cookies. That'll make you poo for days, because you're annoying as hell.
Well, if we have to poo, it won't be so long in January, tell you that much.
That is true.
Right. But it will be longer in November, so.
What about people that have, you know, birthdays and anniversaries and whatnot in end of January? They're just, they're wiped out, they're gone?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just get in line with the people who have birthdays on leap year.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to have a nice life.
Yeah, you just celebrate the next day.
You know them?
Okay.
Yeah, I know them all. Yeah, we had to check them out for the committee.
I had a leap day friend once, and he celebrated on the 28th. It was not a problem.
Yeah, not an issue.
Yeah.
Did he always say things like, I'm really 7?
That is annoying.
Oh, those people.
It's a good question.
Those leap people. can just up. F off. I hate everything.
You really do. See, you're not in the Christmas spirit. Hey, do we have time for the thing?
I mean, I felt like we just wasted a tremendous chunk of time
that
for the thing.
That wasn't a waste. That was important. That was old business. We now have, it's time to turn on the new business.
We have meetings.
That's what I meant. Okay, go ahead.
This won't take long. There are a lot of things that come along that I look at and go, I don't know why we need that. And auto-driving cars is one of them.
Oh, I agree. I'm so bean-like.
Do we need auto-driving cars, Kevin?
No, we don't need them, Kevin.
What do you think?
Do we need them?
Yes.
I mean, not in their current state, but I can imagine down the road where it would be very helpful because people are terrible drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you met me, Bean? The girl that thinks that your Roomba is listening to you and spying on you? So you don't think that at any point someone's just going to hack right into that system and then there's just mass deaths all
just
over
mayhem.
The place?
Mayhem.
Yeah. I think that is a real, very real possibility, to tell you the truth.
So I'm saying if we work past those types of issues
but
at some point in the future.
You?
We never will.
Mm-mm.
The only way that self-driving cars make sense to me is if they're isolated by themselves, like on a train track.
Yes.
If you want to jump into a car that drives itself to go from here to Las Vegas on a dedicated line and it just zips at 100 miles an hour, I'm fine with that. But not in the traffic with other people where there are lots of people making mistakes or surprising the self-driving car.
Yeah.
That's what I don't get.
Like Disneyland's Utopia.
Yes, exactly. That's what you need. Exactly.
Yeah, that's what it needs
to be.
If can you program the self-driving cars to honk at people? Like to cut you off and whatnot?
Because
that'd be pretty funny.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Okay.
The reason I bring it up is you probably saw this story from a couple of mornings ago. 3:30 in the morning, a car is cruising south on Highway 101 in Redwood City up in Northern California. CHP pulls alongside it and observes what? That the driver is sound asleep.
Oh, dear God.
So the officers ease behind the car, which is doing about 70, and put on the flashing lights and the siren. No reaction whatsoever. Driver still asleep. So they realized, hey, what's going on here is it's a self-driving Tesla Model S, and it's on autopilot. So the officer called for backup, and what they came up with was that they would slow the car down because the car has sensors in it to not run into things. So one of the officers sped up in front of it and gradually slowed down until the car did, too, on the freeway, by the way.
Right.
Several miles it took from first contact, by the way, until they finally slowed this Tesla to a full stop just north of an off-ramp. And they went and tapped on the window to wake this dude up. His name is Alexander Samick. He was 45 years old. He was
and
asleep.
He was dead.
The car had killed him. He was not only asleep, he was drunk, by the way. So
they did
a DUI test right there on the highway, and he was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence and transported to jail. So I guess what I'm saying is this is one example of how these cars shouldn't be out on the road because I feel like there are a lot of let's say the cops hadn't been there.
Right.
Right? And let's say somebody had been stopped ahead of this person. Somebody in the lane had been stopped ahead of this person.
Right.
And the Tesla would have stopped behind it. Would it have just sat there? Would it just sat
I don't have
there
the
in
answer
lanes
until
in traffic?
That until the car moved? I don't have the answer to that.
Yeah.
It wouldn't move.
Would it be programmed to just go around it?
See, this
or
is
just
what,
wait.
This is what I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know there have been several crashes involving Teslas in autopilot mode, but this is terrifying to me to think about a car zipping down a road that you or I could have been on at 70 miles an hour with a guy drunk and asleep behind the wheel. There's no way this is good news.
No, I've never said I wish I wasn't driving right now, but still move. Like it's not something I've ever wanted. I can't get my remote at home. I bought one of those universal remotes.
Sure.
I swear to God, I followed every rule. I can't get it. I can't. If I can't get the remote to work,
yeah,
I can't get a car to
You're my
drive
mom
itself.
Right now, Jensen.
Yeah.
No, it's true, and I feel like I'm pretty good with electronics.
Technology, yeah,
they are always going to have problems.
There's I agree.
No one wants this.
I don't know why the industry is going so hard to make this happen. Where are the people? I don't hear the people out there going, "You've got to get me a car that I don't have to steer."
No, it's not a thing.
It seems like the industry is forcing it to be a thing.
Do you think that down the road a ways after they encounter all of these problems that we're bringing up, they just will finally give up and go, well, we gave it a good shot? No, just let
because
it go.
It's that Elon Musk and his stupidity and his Grimes dating and his tunnel underneath L.A. All those things are going to work together to make this stupid car, and we're all going to get drove off a cliff. This is so stupid.
I think Jensen is 100% right on this one.
Not that many cliffs, but okay.
No, I don't he's going to find them.
I don't like it, and I'm telling you right now, we should stop this. What we should do.
Overlords.
And how do you plan on stopping this?
Look, I don't have all the answers. Okay. I'm still working on January. Okay.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach show, shall we?
If not now, when? And if not you, who?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Kevin and Bean police are back.
Oh, dear God.
No.
Yeah, there's issues that we need to take care of. And,
is it a mad pooper?
We're going to find the poopetrator. Don't think we won't.
It's a real problem, though. We have animal stories on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to do Hollywood Hunks.
Yes.
Which Allie's never done before.
I have not been privy to this. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. You're too old to wear a Supreme hat.
I've dressed the part, guys. I made a decision to be part of the discussion.
And we also have tickets on the floor to both nights of K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. We're going to have a contest for you in the 7 o'clock hour, and we'll give you a chance to meet Beer Mug. He's going to be in Northridge today, and we'll give you those details as well. We'll take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Alan McKay.
Bean.
What's happening on this Tuesday?
Well, Bean, we finally have a date. A date for Jensen's new favorite show.
Oh.
Went through a few title changes, but now it's ready. Going under Lindsay Lohan's Beach Club. That's the name of the new star's MTV show. It's going to focus on her running, you know, that big club in Mykonos and how she's going to build an empire at this beach club. It's going to follow all the drama along the way of this journey. It's going to be amazing. Tuesday, January 8th, the show premieres
right
on MTV.
Corner.
Yeah. I'm gonna be covering it for the show.
All right.
You will be?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good, because none of us want to watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, I do, but I don't. I don't have the time.
I'll be doing a report.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have to ask, do we think that she is mentally fit right now?
No.
No.
Of course not.
In other words, this is poor form for MTV to be exploiting that by making a TV show about her.
I mean, I don't know how seriously unfit she is, but...
Oh, no, she's seriously unfit.
Oh, she is. Okay.
Also, this is the same network that gives us, you know, 16 and pregnant or whatever, so let's not pretend we're watching, you know, Downton Abbey on MTV.
I know, but I was thinking about her trying to steal that refugee's family or something.
Yeah, that's not that long ago.
not that long ago, and that makes me think that maybe she shouldn't be on TV.
Well, you wouldn't be a good TV executive.
Right?
I guess not.
Not at all, Bean.
Exploit away, I guess.
Yeah.
I would think this was taped and done and in the can before she tried to steal a refugee child. No?
I'm sure it was.
Okay. I don't know.
It would make sense timing-wise.
Right.
If you're going to steal a refugee.
Yeah. Be like, listen, I just finished the show, so I have time to take care of you.
Or the refugee's just a really cool sidekick on the show.
Oh, you know that what would I mean? Be nice.
Like the Herve Belichez. You know what I mean? Like, the plane, Lindsay, the plane.
This is all awful now that I think about it.
It's hard to remember that there was a time where she was a very popular actress who had a real career and was lucid and normal.
Adorable, even.
She was so good in Mean Girls.
She
was great.
So good.
The peak of her career, for sure.
Peak
and she obviously was an extremely, you know, talented and smart child star. So it's all gone downhill from there. I'm curious to see what they're going to what she's going to be like now.
Well, Lindsay Lohan's Beach Club, baby.
Woohoo!
January 8th.
I'm a beachhead. I'm ready.
I don't think that's a thing just yet.
Well, I think it just became one.
Yep.
Oh, dear.
Prelim.
So Gwen Stefani has announced 21 new dates for Just a Girl, her headlining residency at Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. She's got dates throughout July, October, and then a couple dates in November so far. Tickets go on sale this Friday. And Gwen is donating $1 of every ticket purchase for the Cure for the Kids Foundation that provides medical treatment to children with life-threatening illnesses. And you're going to be seeing a lot of Gwen in the next couple weeks. She's got her re-release of her holiday album, You Make It Feel Like Christmas.
Where this is from?
Look at your watch now! You're a super hot female. You got $1 million contract, and you're still waiting for your hot track.
Sounds good. Yeah, right. She's on Ellen today. Not sure if she'll be doing that song, but she should. It's a standout hit. Jimmy Kimmel Live on Thursday. The Late Show with James Corden on December 13th. And then on The Talk on December 17th. So it is...
Wow, making the rounds.
Gwen-cember. No? I don't think it works, but...
I don't think
it's
so.
It's a lot of Gwen in December is what I'm saying. So there you have it. And if you're wondering, well, what about Blake Shelton? What's he up to? You know, her lover. Because you can't talk about Gwen without talking about him.
Sure.
He's going to be hosting the Elvis All-Star Tribute. You heard this, Bean?
No. No, tell me more.
So the 50th anniversary tribute to Elvis Presley's famous comeback special... is coming up because that aired on NBC in 1968, you guys.
One of the greatest TV specials of all time.
So Blake Shelton is going to host Elvis All-Star Tribute. It's a two-hour affair. Music superstars, lineup announced early 2019, they're going to recreate the spectacle, even the staging of that legendary night.
Fun.
So that could be interesting.
Wow.
I hope someone gets, like, kind of really fat for it. Right?
You got to put on a lot of weight.
But he wasn't fat then, though.
Oh, this is the one that was...
This is pre.
This is him
thin,
looking phenomenal in the black leather suit.
Yeah. Yeah, not the white suit,
oh,
which is the
I'm
one you're thinking of.
The white one.
Hawaii.
Yeah.
Oh. Right, Bean?
Yeah, that was Hawaii 73.
By the way,
this is...
also a great special, though he's huge, but a great special also.
Okay, so this is when... Well, why do they call it his comeback special? Where'd he go?
He had not been performing live for several years because he'd been off making terrible movies.
Oh.
So this was his return to the stage.
Okay.
Hey, can I back up to Gwen for a second?
Sure.
Could it be DeGwember?
It could be.
That's
okay.
Why he runs the meetings.
Yeah. Well done, Bean. Well done. Yes.
Also, Gwen should come up later when we talk about are you too old to wear certain things.
How dare you?
Wow.
It's true. Sorry.
Took a real turn.
Speak
whatever Gwen wears looks fantastic on her.
Agreed.
Yeah, this just in. If I look like Gwen, I'd be wearing like Hello Kitty every day.
Yeah, she
like
is
little
ageless
Hello Kitty
and,
half tops.
And timeless.
Little okay.
Booty shorts.
Oh, I see I'm going to have some issues in this room.
Later. I mean, she's an exception to the rule, though.
Yes.
Maybe, possibly. Yeah. I admit that, but I'm just saying.
By the way, the February special is going to include rare Elvis footage and interviews with Priscilla Presley and the director, Steve Binder, who were there for the original event. That's going to air on February 17th, 2019, 9 to 11 p.m. on NBC.
And what's it called? Kevin, don't watch this?
It's called Kevin, This Is Not For You special.
Right. Does it surprise you guys that more than 40 years after his death, there is still so much interest in Elvis Presley?
Yes. Surprises me.
Yeah. He died at the perfect time. You know what I mean? He left mystery.
Mm-hmm. Huh, maybe.
Does that make sense?
Left us one and more.
Yeah.
I feel like you might change your mind once they start announcing who the music superstars will be.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bruno Mars has to do it, right?
Sure.
I think Bruno.
Yeah.
I think Brandon from The Killers.
Sure.
I think Brendan from Panic at the Disco.
Be good.
Sure.
I think even Muse could do something pretty cool. I'm just saying, I think there's some people that you really like that you could be interested in.
It's going to end up Harry Connick Jr. It's an NBC special. I wish these people, that would be my dream. But I think it's going to end up being, well, I mean, Bruno will be there, which is great. And he was an Elvis impersonator as a kid, so this makes total sense.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. Those were very good picks.
I feel like maybe when you hear the name Elvis, that they wouldn't turn it down if they were asked.
No, let's hope.
If you throw in a Fred Durst, now you've got my interest.
Oh, God.
Now I'm in.
Yeah, he's going to break stuff there.
Mm-hmm. Some birthdays for you. Jay-Z, Tyra Banks, Jeff Bridges, Marissa Tomei, and Fred Armisen.
We're going to check in with Beer Mug and the K-Rock Janky Van out on the streets of Northridge at the Del Taco there on Corbin Avenue in just a few minutes. He'll give you all the details and how you can help with the Sparkle of Toy Drive and also maybe win some tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. That's coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on K-Rock.
I live in an area where there are a lot of old people who drive.
Oh, luck out. I love old people.
You love old people or you love old people when they drive?
No,
because that's a big difference.
No, I honestly believe there are old people who should not have their driver's license anymore.
Right.
But I think they only have to prove their competence like every 10 years or something like that. So they got a lot of years to skate.
I mean, you remember that I gave you an example before where I was sitting behind somebody at a red light. It turned green. Mm-hmm. The car didn't move. I waited and waited, and then I honked, and then the light turned red again. Literally sat through a full cycle like that.
What was oldie oldster doing?
Don't know.
Just being daydreaming, probably.
Being old.
I thought maybe
just remembering the war.
I thought maybe died. Possibly, yes.
I thought maybe she was just dying.
But I bet you're. But that puts you in a tough spot because if you can see it's an old person,
right.
You don't want to be that a-hole who's leaning on them
right.
Like in the first second. So it sounds like you took that into account and gave them some space, a little consideration.
I did.
It still wasn't enough.
I did, but I do have another example, and this happened this past weekend, and that is leaving Vaughn's. It's a pretty narrow street, and the old person somehow had pulled straight out of the Vaughn's parking lot, so they were perpendicular to the street. Mm-hmm. So there was a car on the right that was waiting for that old person. There was a car on the left that was waiting. There was a car across the street in a place that was waiting, and I was behind them. And he was literally sitting in traffic on a street blocking everybody.
He didn't know what to do.
And making no attempt to turn or move or get out of the way.
Maybe it'll all just go away.
Maybe that's what he's thinking.
Just hold your breath. Everybody will leave.
Were you able to see him or her closing his eyes and going, la, 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 la?
I wasn't, but I felt like that. So my question is, I mean, they're old people. So they have slower reflexes. How long do you wait on that? And what's your move?
Yeah, because you couldn't really go around.
At all, right.
Yeah, it was gridlocked.
There were four different cars stopped because this person was stopped on the street.
Yeah.
So now I started to think, well, this seems like it's getting a little dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So maybe a little tap on the horn. But how do you wait? How long do you wait? I don't know the etiquette with old drivers.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you carry a BB gun with you in your car?
Good question.
I don't, but that is a good
question. I mean, good question. That'll get you out of honking.
I do have fireworks.
Okay, good.
You think that would help?
That's a good start.
I waited about, I don't know. Of course, it seems like minutes, but I'm sure it was 7 or 8 seconds.
Yeah.
And then I just sort of, tapped it as lightly as I possibly could.
And then Nana had a heart attack and died
right there.
No.
Yeah. And that gridlock is still right there.
No, but like,
people
I don't
still
know.
There. They live there
know.
Now.
I don't know what you should do with
that.
Because you do feel bad because they're probably doing their best, but they're screwing everything up.
Yeah.
I feel bad honking at old people for sure.
Right, me too. Yeah. But in that case, I felt like old people need to move on.
Yeah.
Not permanently, but I'm saying in that situation of traffic, that guy needed to move out of the way because he was backing up traffic four different ways.
Yeah.
I'm surprised in the situation that you described, Kevin, that you showed so much discretion and that nobody else in that circle of cars honked at the guy.
Well, that was the other thing, is that I noticed no one else was honking, so do I want to be the guy that honks?
Yeah.
Like, everybody else is being super patient.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like he was trying to make, like, an 8-point turn. He was just sitting there.
Yeah.
Wasn't
maybe
making.
And all he had to do was kind of lean in one direction, and that would give everybody else an opportunity to start the process moving.
Exactly, yes.
Maybe we need a separate honk for old people.
What would that be?
Like,
wake up!
No,
something like that?
Like Benny Goodman or something. Something they recognize. So they're okay.
Maybe an old school, like, Model T, like a...
Yes,
one of those oldster horns.
And then they would know exactly what's going
they're
on.
They're like, that's for me. I'm old. I'm doing something wrong.
That's a good plan.
Sounds good to hear fun again.
I agree.
I miss that song. Hey, we are participating along with the Spark of Love toy drive this year to help raise some toys for kids who really, really need it. And the way that we are doing it is by sending our man. Why is everybody laughing?
Allie almost just died.
Didn't I? I thought I pressed the cough button.
You did, but there's a lot of other mics open.
Oh. Sorry.
You okay? Do we need a doctor? Are we okay?
I think she's good.
Fine. Yeah.
And the way we're doing it is all 5 days this week during the Kevin and Bean Show, we're sending our man Beer Mug out on location to various Del Tacos around the Southland. And he joined us today from Northridge. 8941 Corbin Avenue in Northridge. Muggs, how are you?
Well, I showed up on time today, so that's going well.
Yay!
Congratulations.
Yay!
On
doing
time.
Just enough.
How was yesterday? Did a lot of folks take you up on your offer and come by and donate some toys?
Yeah, such a great turnout yesterday. A lot of generous people in the Orange County area dropped off new unwrapped toys for the Spark of Love toy drive. Hung out. We ate some Del Taco, chit-chatted. And
ate
we
more
also
Del
gave,
Taco.
ate more Del Taco.
Right.
And we gave away tickets to Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas.
All right.
Are people still interested, Muggs? Forget you. Of course they want a photo with Beer Mug. But are they still taking pictures with the Kevin Bean Janky van?
Yes, actually, Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Archive came down yesterday and took a picture in the van sitting in the driver's seat.
Nice.
Oh, I didn't know we were giving away Make-A-Wishes.
All right, so it's not you can still enter to win the tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. There's no purchase necessary. You don't have to bring a toy, but we're asking you in the spirit of the holidays to bring a new unwrapped toy. Give us your location again and tell us exactly where you are, Muggs.
We are at 8941 Corbin Avenue in Northridge at the Del Taco. We're going to be here now until 9:30, and we're going to do drawings for acoustic Christmas tickets at the top of every hour starting at 7 a.m.
All right. That's fantastic. All right, we'll check in with you again later, man. Thanks, Muggs. We appreciate it.
Sounds good.
Oh, okay. Hey, Muggs isn't here for this conversation, but he's not. There's no way he's the perpetrator here, or as you would say, Allie, the poopetrator, right?
No way.
This is ladies this time?
I mean, it's possible.
It's possible. Here's the thing. Back when we were at our Venice location and all the other stations were here at the Wilshire location, Death Star is what we were calling it.
Yeah.
Now I know why. We got an email, a company-wide email from the HR woman here saying, hey, I shouldn't have to send this out, but if y'all could flush the toilet and check to make sure that nothing is in there before you leave the stall, that would be great.
And you knew that probably 20 times she was like, I'm not going to send it. I'm not going to send an email. I'm not going to. And then finally she had to.
She had to.
Why would that have to be sent out? I mean, isn't that going to the bathroom 101? Don't you teach your two-year-old how to flush a toilet?
I would think so. But all I was thinking was, oh, what is going on at that building? That is awful. And then there was the merger, and now we're here.
What is going on, Allie?
We are here at this building. And not once, not twice, dare I say a turd time, I have left the women's bathroom. There are five stalls in the women's bathroom, and it's the same stall every time that has poo in it.
Poopy-dee-scoop.
Right.
Yeah.
Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-dee-poop.
Every time you go in there, the same stall.
Not every time, but this is the, like I said, the turd time. This is disgusting.
But wait a second. If it's the same stall each time, mm-hmm. is there a problem with that toilet?
Or is it somebody that's like, this is my stall, this is where I leave it?
That's exactly what's happening.
Yes, Omar.
That's what's happening. Somebody's building a mountain.
Hold on.
And they're taking their territory. And like, don't mess with this. This is mine, sucker.
No.
Just so you know, we now have an expert here.
Right.
It's almost like bringing in Jane Goodall. You know what I mean? Like, to come talk to us about animals.
Yeah.
Here he is.
No, he's like the head of the police.
I'm telling you, that's exactly what's
happening. I'm sorry, Ali, he's the head of what?
The police.
I thought I heard that right.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
Do you think that's what's happening?
Oh, yeah. They're like, I want to make this as disgusting as possible. Uh-huh. So nobody—it's so nasty that nobody else wants to use the stall.
So you think it's the same person repeatedly during a day?
Oh, has to be, for sure.
Could it be a tag team building a mountain?
Well,
you know what I mean. Like the second person comes in, the third adding two.
Maybe. I mean, maybe they're doing some sort of weird like art. Who knows?
I don't think it's art. No. But the fact that it's a woman disturbs me to no end. Obviously, because
why?
I didn't even know women pooed. but I don't know. I guess I assumed when I saw that email, dudes in that building are gross.
Right, because it's always dudes.
Absolutely.
In this particular case, we don't have that issue. Woohoo!
Well, oh, no.
Don't get me wrong. Our bathroom is disgusting and gross.
Yes, but no one's building the mountain.
No. But it also disturbs me how early that kind of poo is happening.
Yeah, this is all before 10 a.m.
Oof.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, first of all,
I would very much like to be excluded from this narrative.
Understandable. Yeah.
Second of all, let me throw this theory
out. You're not to live it, though, Bean.
From our friend Casey, finger on the button girl. She says, I constantly flush at least one toilet when I enter the bathroom here. I think it's people who are expecting the auto flush to do its thing, and it just doesn't, and no one thinks to look back. How about that theory?
I get that theory, but who are you that doesn't look back
right,
and presses the little button on the side if it didn't flush?
If you don't hear it flush. Don't you stop in your tracks and get it to flush?
How quick are you pulling up your pants or zipping up your skirt that you're not, like, are you out of the bathroom that quickly?
I will say, the very first time I took a poop here, I had that problem, that exact problem.
The sensor didn't work.
The sensor didn't work. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? And I instantly went into panic mode because, like, I didn't see that little button, because that little black
button. It's the same color.
Exactly. It blends in with the sensor. Yeah. So I was kind of freaking out. I was like waving my hands and kind of like, you know,
doing the dance.
And then I looked a little closer and sure enough, there was a button there. But it's really hard to notice. So I'm thinking that people aren't noticing.
It's like the tip of a needle. It's so small.
It's really tiny. Very, 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 very tiny.
An ice pick to be able to get to it.
So you're thinking they're not doing it on purpose. They're just, it doesn't
that
flush.
Sensor.
They don't know to press the sensor.
And that person, and that person's coming in every day and missing the sensor in the same toilet.
Right. But question.
Yes, Kevin.
Why do they keep using the same stall?
Great question.
That's really weird.
That's my point, is that they're making a statement.
Because if I went in there and the sensor didn't work, I would use a different one.
You know what's happening? It's different people that use that stall that don't know.
Okay,
and they have that exact same problem that they don't see that button.
Then you know what? There's a lot of idiots that work here that don't know how a toilet flushes.
Then we have to make stickers. Yeah. Kevin and Bean endorse stickers that go on the back of the toilet.
No, but you got to make them like 2x2, you know what I mean? Like 2 foot by 2 foot so people really notice
big,
with a little arrow says button here, the poop button here.
Because that would have helped me.
Yeah. Oh, you had the same problem.
Well, in the ladies' bathroom.
Wait, what?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, like, hold on.
I would have loved to have been the culprit here.
But Omar, you think it's different people just missing the button in the same stall, yet...
I think so.
That means they're all eating the same corn.
But,
you had to go there, Bean. I'm proud of you, Bean.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Kevin and Bean listener Edwin has a great idea. Jensen, you know you have that cat box app that lets you know when your cat does his business?
I do.
You need to set that up in the ladies' bathroom here at K-Rock so you know when the poopetrator strikes.
And you guys will get my bail? My bail money? You guys will get that from me?
Catch her in the act.
Can't hear you.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
Okay.
You're breaking up.
Thanks.
Hey, in about 5 minutes or so, we're going to tell you, not only tell you, but give you tickets for both nights on the floor for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018, which, of course, is happening this weekend at the Forum. Immediately after, Allie takes a look at what's happening here on this Tuesday.
You guys, there's a lot of places that you should be using your phone to, you know, document events.
Sure.
A child's birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Whip out the phone, take some video of the kid, their first cake. Amazing. You're at a concert. Fine. You want to shoot some of that. Absolutely. By all means.
Keyword being some.
Some. You know where you don't whip out your phone?
Restroom.
Well, number one.
Okay. Surgery?
Surgery. Okay. What about at a Broadway show?
No, certainly not.
Certainly not. Well, the Cher Show, which is the story of the early life and career of Cher, a gentleman came to Twitter to blast somebody in the audience. We all know who that somebody is. So this guy, Jared Spector, he plays Sonny Bono in the Cher Show. He tweeted, "Hey, Kanye West. So cool you're here at the Cher Show. If you look up from your cell phone, you'll see we're doing a show up here. Oh, it's opening night. Kind of a big deal for us. Thanks so much."
Yeah.
Wow.
And here's the response from somebody tweeting for Kanye. "The dynamics of Cher and Sonny's relationship made Kim and I grab each other's hand and sing, 'I got you, babe.' Please pardon my lack of etiquette. We have so much appreciation for the energy you guys put into making this masterpiece." Who wrote that?
Right? 0% chance it's Kanye.
Wrote that.
Not him.
It is insane. By the way, Mr. West's representative acknowledged the phone use, saying, "Kanye was on his phone taking notes. He loved the show and was incredibly impressed by the production. Get the F out of here with this
taking
whole thing."
Taking notes.
I like the idea. He was taking notes, but also not watching the show.
At all.
Yeah, just taking notes on a show he's not watching.
Is that the most insane thing?
You're
up there pouring your heart out. This is your opening night, let alone any night during a performance. And you can see someone, you see a light in the audience, someone on their phone.
But that's the thing that's becoming like a problem on Broadway.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Actors and actresses are actually like not yelling it out, but like saying, "Please put your phones away," like in
like
the middle,
in the
of, a
middle
performance,
of a song.
Which is a nightmare.
Insanity.
I don't think, why not have an usher be in charge of that.
Take them out?
Not even, like, even if they get one warning, then get taken out. It's like the same as a movie theater, really. I mean, I don't, yeah. I almost
it's
feel like.
It's just such an even bigger disturbance.
They should just trank dart him.
Wow.
Oh, I don't mind that.
Fall over in the seat. They sleep for a good 30 minutes. They're good.
As you'll see at both exits, we have snipers. They are ready for anyone using their phone.
It's probably going to get to the point where they do those little, you know, pouches. You have to leave your phone and not bring it in.
It's awful in a movie theater for the other customers, but on a Broadway show, it's awful for the customers and for the performers.
Right. Yeah, true.
It's insane. So way to go.
It's about ideas, bro.
He was taking notes, you guys.
This is fame, bro.
So Kanye didn't write that. So you would
assume. No way.
Okay, so you would assume it's a PR person or somebody?
Yes. Yeah.
How do they not know that that's a laughable response?
Right.
He's taking notes.
Right.
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah. Ew, it's not good.
Everybody loves Ye.
I don't know if the cast of the Cher show digs you so much right now. Hey, Eddie Murphy, congratulations to you and your fiance, Paige Butcher. You welcomed your second child together, bringing Eddie Murphy's grand total up to 10.
Oh,
man.
10 children, you guys. My mom's the oldest of 10.
Oh.
Because they didn't know better.
They didn't know you could stop that from happening?
They didn't know that, A, you could get pregnant real soon after you just had the last one.
My dad was in a family of 12 kids. And it seems, especially in today's age, it seems impossible.
What are you doing?
12 kids.
That's nuts.
I never knew that.
Yeah, but it was, you know, they had a farm and they would help with the farm and the old kids would help with the younger kids. I mean, it was a different time.
Did you guys have your holidays at, like, the shrine? That sounds humongous.
It was really great, but that's a lot of kids. How many kids is Eddie Murphy actively parenting?
We don't know.
I don't
do you know.
Know
what I mean?
I would assume some are a lot older.
That's what
know,
I would think.
The oldest is 29.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Yeah. So he's
so
just,
keep going then. Right?
Keep going.
I think that's what we're saying.
Absolutely.
He's got kids from 29 to 1 week. Okay. I mean, come on now.
I mean, maybe a little less boning and a little more stage time. That's what I want from Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. Make a movie.
Something. I mean,
hey, Mick Jagger's still having kids, you guys.
I know.
He's in his upper 70s.
I mean, congratulations on it still working so good. First of all, let's not leave that out of the story, but wow, 10 kids.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
2018. All right, guys, some birthdays for you. Marissa Tomei, Fred Armisen, Jeff Bridges, Tyra Banks.
I have one thing to say to you. Kiss my fat ass.
All right. And Jay-Z, you guys, a lot of good birthdays today.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyra. And that's what's happening.
Who wants to see Smashing Pumpkins, 30 Seconds to Mars, Third Eye Blind, Greta Van Fleet, Florence and the Machine, Death Cab for Katie Bastille, Mike Shinoda, and all the rest? We're talking both nights on the floor for K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018. I don't think there's much you need to know about this. Just be a fan of the bands and their music, right?
That's
sure.
It.
And we have our own musical performer who is going to be wowing you with his uncanny ability to replicate those hits. So
define
call right
wowing.
Now. 1-800-520. Well, they're not going to believe what they're hearing. 1-800-520-1067. If you want to go, call us right now. We'll play the King of Mexico. Just broke in with some big news, by the way, that so-called production holds have been released. So if you were trying to get good seats for either night of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas for this weekend at the Forum, and you were denied, now they may be available. Because once they get the staging all set up and they know where everybody's going to be and where the cameras are going to be and where the control board is going to be and stuff like that, sometimes a few more seats are available. And that apparently is happening right now, so head on over to Ticketmaster. Or if you're on the line, stand by, you can win them as we play Kevin Blowhums the Hits.
Because you know he's all about that blow, about that blow, no whistle. And all about that hum, no whistle. He's all about the blow and the hum, no whistle. And that's why we play Kevin Blowhums the Hits.
All right, so I can't whistle. And so we made a game around that.
Uh-huh.
Of me whistling, you have to identify the band and the song title. We will tell you which night of Acoustic Christmas.
Okay.
And then you have to identify the band and the song title by my whistling of the song.
So this is the only show I know where they look for somebody who can't do something and then makes them do it on the air.
Yeah. And I feel super guilty for people who don't get it, because now my whistling kept them from coming to the show.
Mm. But when you say you can't whistle, you mean you're not a virtuoso whistler. You can certainly whistle. Anybody can whistle. You just put your lips together and blow.
Wow. Wow. Ding.
Yes, but I'm not great at it, as you know. You
let guys hear a little. Let me like a little.
Let See, me now he's just trying to make me feel bad.
No, no, I just want to get an idea of what your whistling sounds like.
Ooh. Oh, and also his mouth gets like creepy.
It's a weird
look closely
kind of
look at my mouth.
Look.
It gets butthole.
What?
Yeah, it's a weird butthole look.
Come on.
Yeah.
You are whistling out of a starfish.
All right, so if you
I should
it
try
right,
that. It might be better.
You go into the drawing. We're going to start with our man, Danny. He's in Los Angeles up first on line one for Kevin Blowhums to hit. So, Danny, you understand that Kevin is going to attempt to whistle. He'll tell you which night of Acoustic Christmas this artist is playing. All you have to do is give us the name of the band and the song he's doing, and then you're in the drawing, okay?
Got it.
All right. Night one. This is a night one band.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is bad.
At least he's whistling it at half speed. All right, Danny, what do you think?
Nailed it!
Title and artist.
No idea. I'll take a guess.
Take a guess, okay.
Let's see, Smashing Pumpkins, 1979.
I'm sorry.
Wow! Wow, Pumpkins, yes. Bullet with Butterfly Wings was the name of the song.
Okay, I mean, that one didn't go great, but I mean, we had a lot of other contestants on the line.
I felt like it went pretty well. I nailed it.
I feel like you're starting to warm up. I think you'll get better.
Thank you, Bean. Let's go to Alex in Rancho Cucamonga. Good morning.
Good morning.
Ready for some blow humming?
Sure.
Okay. Night two, Ben.
Okay, I would not get this.
How?
I would not get this.
How?
I don't even know what happened.
I didn't catch
none
it
of you.
No, I
but,
don't know.
But maybe Alex did. That's the only one that matters. Alex, title and artist, please.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
That was Bastille Pompeii. To laugh, Allie. I'm doing the best I can.
I didn't hear that one.
Do we need an oxygen tank?
Hey, Kevin, can you get either whistle a little louder or get a little closer to the mic?
He is eating the
mic. I'm doing the best I can, Bean, and I don't appreciate you rubbing it in.
No, I was just asking just to make it easier for, say, Joe in Canoga Park to hear you. That's
I mean,
all.
To make it easier for us in the room, if your eyes couldn't bug out as much when you do it, that would be great.
Too. Also, if you stop drooling halfway through the song also.
Look, you guys won a lot.
Okay.
We do. All right, this is night one, Joe.
Okay.
Night one.
Got a shot at that one.
Thank you. Yeah.
You got a shot.
Joe?
Is that a Christmas song?
It was a little Sweet Caroline at the beginning,
30
too.
30 Seconds to Mars, The Cure.
I'm sorry. That was AFI Miss Murder.
We got that one.
I got that one, yeah.
Right? You guys got that one, right?
Yeah.
All right.
So that one was on Joe, it sounds like you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm fine with that. So the other ones I thought were pretty recognizable as well.
Okay.
We are dangerously close to sudden death. We're not quite there yet, but let's see who our next contestant is.
Gabe in Laguna Niguel. Hello.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Bad
Gabe, have you had any kind of luck at all listening on hold to your previous contestants? Would you have gotten any of those songs?
Nope, not a one.
Okay. All right. We're feeling good about this one then.
All right, this is night one. Are you ready?
Yep.
I mean, maybe I would know that one if I wrote the song.
How dare you?
Okay.
What do you think, Gabe?
Florence and the Machine, Dog Days of Summer.
No, that's not even a night one band, but...
That was Third Eye Blind, Semi-Charmed Life.
What?
Yes.
How is that possible?
That's, I did it identical.
Have you heard the song?
Listen. All right. Sudden death, you guys. Sudden death. Get it right, you win. Kathy and Pico Rivera.
Come on,
good
Kathy.
Morning.
Have you gotten any of them?
Actually, I got like three of them.
Yes! Fantastic.
Yes!
All right.
Okay.
Kathy, you are 30 seconds away from winning these tickets. If you get this right, you win. No drawing, okay?
Okay.
All right. This is night one. Hold on, let me remember.
Jesus.
I got nothing.
Nothing.
I got nothing. No relationship whatsoever to the notes in that song.
No.
I'd just like to say that I'm being forced to do this, and I'm not happy about it.
Kathy's good, though. She got a bunch of them previously. Do you know that one?
Well, I think you're trying 30 Seconds to Mars.
And
yes.
The song is called?
The Kill.
Look at you! Oh, thank God.
Unbelievable.
Thank God, Kathy.
Maybe you guys,
us.
Maybe Allie and Jensen and Bean are just bad. Because Kathy nailed it.
You have won floor tickets for both nights of this weekend's K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018. And I'm going to send you $1 million personally for ending this game. Thanks for listening. Have a fun time.
And that's why we play Kevin Blowhawk.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:23. If you're in the North Ridge...
That just came out of nowhere. Sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I live for your
I apologize.
Season.
I'm so sorry.
Don't be sorry.
I'd just like to take some. Could you repeat it? Because
I cannot. I was eating some Cajun hot peanuts there, and somebody just went up into my nose, and it just made me sneeze like instantly.
That's a real sneeze too, people.
Wow.
You were saying something about Northridge.
If you're in Northridge today, you can join Beer Mug. He's at the Del Taco. The address is 8941 Corbin Avenue in Northridge. He's got tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. He's doing a drawing at the top of every hour. He's also collecting toys for A Spark of Love, which is the firefighter's toy drive. You don't have to bring a toy to be in the drawing, but we would like you to if you don't mind.
You would be a good person if you did, though.
Correct.
Sure would.
So you can do that between now and 9:30.
All right. Fantastic. Hey, who wants some animal stories?
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
These first two animal stories this week are especially for Allie. One is there's no story. There's just a video that was up at dig.com. I sent it to Allie yesterday. Did you weep when you saw the man sharing a bowl of ice cream with his bear?
It was very special.
With his bear?
He was foon speeding him. What? Foon speeding?
spoon feeding, yes. And by the way, Kevin, this is not...
That's my favorite kind of...
What? This is not a cub. This is a
bear.
It's full-ass,
yeah. Like, 8-foot-tall bear,
yeah.
Who's just practically wrapped around this guy, yeah. And they are sharing ice cream together.
And his little bear paw right on his leg. Oh.
This sounds like he's getting ready to take him out.
No.
Well,
and the guy's have some ice cream, have some ice cream.
The video did end abruptly, yeah. And I'm not sure what happened after that. But at one point, Kevin, he takes the ice cream and he smears it on his nose so that the bear will lick it off of his nose.
Yeah.
This guy has a death wish.
Oh, it's so
the
sweet.
Cutest thing you've ever seen in your life. All right, so that's story one, because Allie's dream is to hug a bear. Mm-hmm. Story number two, we talked about this a little bit off the air, but we need to bring Kevin in on this and other listeners who may not be aware of the Mandarin duck that is causing a sensation in Central Park right now. This Mandarin duck, Kevin, is being called the hot duck. I don't know if you know about the hot duck.
The hot duck.
The hot duck.
So now ducks are hot?
Yes, the hot duck has become an international celebrity, a living, breathing, quacking meme. According to the New York Times, he's been featured on primetime news, discussed on late-night talk shows. His likeness is stamped on T-shirts all over New York. The Chinese Communist Party even tweeted about him, by the way. He was just on the front page of the Los Angeles Times this past Sunday. What's the hot duck all about?
Please.
Well, he is a Mandarin duck, and he showed up in Central Park, in the pond there. He's supposed to be in Eastern Asia. Nobody knows how he got to North America, why he is roaming the wilds of New York right now. It is suspected that he was somebody's pet that they either just gave up or somehow flew away. But he has become a sensation. People by the thousands are showing up at Central Park to take their picture with it. And you know who's furious about this? Is the real-life bird watchers who just think it's manufactured hysteria. It's a wild bird should not be in this part of the world.
You don't want to make them mad.
Wow. Oh, they're furious.
Right.
In an open letter to the duck, an Audubon.com editor told the Mandarin duck point blank that he's not that special. I mean, it's really, people are taking sides now. And now there's some fear that somebody's going to try to kidnap the duck because he's so popular. I mean, he's a pretty hot duck.
It's a gorgeous duck.
It's a good-looking duck.
I don't have that category. It's either a duck or it's not a duck.
No, when you see the colors, and it's unlike any duck you've ever seen.
Would you say it's hot?
I wouldn't go hot. Okay, no, I would hot. Definitely okay. say beautiful.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He is the hot duck.
All right.
Yeah. Here's an interesting story I want to say happened in Britain. This is a man named Steve Dougherty, 63 years old. He has a pet African gray parrot named Jazz. Well, why did Jazz have the police and fire departments show up at their apartment? Here's why. You know what that is?
That's the fire alarm?
Jazz!
It's Jazz the bird. That's his smoke detector impression. He copied the sound of a smoke detector.
How does... What?
Listen, this is a bird. All right, and here's Steve telling the story.
Hello, this is Jazz. Jazz likes to imitate. He likes to imitate people, noises, any sound that interests him, he will do it. Not so long ago, he imitated my smoke alarm, which resulted in the fire brigade being called out. It was very, very confusing. I thought I was going to have ladders up the side of the house and everything else. I was going to ask them if they'd wash the windows while they're at it. But they were very nice. They were very nice. And we all had a good laugh about it.
So there's Jazz doing a smoke detector. Now, the
insane.
Only thing...
That's a horrible sound.
It's a weird sound. Thank God I don't have a parrot, by the way, with all the times the smoke alarms got off at my house. The only thing that confuses me about this is usually the fire department comes because your smoke detector is hooked up to the fire department. In other words, it alerts them when it goes off, I think.
Yeah, it's not just the sound. Yeah, you're right.
But if the neighbor heard it...
That's what I'm wondering, is if it was the neighbor, And finally, on this edition of Animal Stories, last week, everybody was talking about... it turned out not to be the world's largest cow, by the way, but it was a pretty damn big cow.
How is it not the world's largest cow?
It was a 7-year-old Holstein that we all saw the photographs of and video of in Australia last week called Nickers. And he is standing like a giant above these other cows out in a field. And I think that you'll enjoy this. Jimmy Kimmel features these videos from time to time of how it seems like almost every newscaster in the world is reading from the same script. And in this case, it was about Nickers.
Meet Nickers.
Oh, hi, buddy.
A Holstein Friesian steer. You'll want to move over. See what I did there, Jason?
I see.
If you ever see that big guy.
Well, you want to move on over if you ever see this big guy.
Move over if you ever come across this guy.
You'll want to move over if you ever see this big guy. Okay. You'll want to move over this big guy.
We got it.
You're going to want to move over if you ever see this big guy.
What is happening?
I think what happens is that television, you know, this original report came out in a newspaper or the Associated Press wire or something like that, and they just don't bother to rewrite anything. They just read it the way the original story was written.
Yep.
But he sure was a big cow.
Yes, he sure was.
He sure was. And that's this week's Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure your...
Too late.
Right?
You've already let the kids down.
Not bad, though.
Thank you.
Just then.
Now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, coming up in a few minutes, we're going to be talking about a holiday classic, Baby, It's Cold Outside, that is being banned on radio stations, by the way, not just here in the United States, but in other cities around and countries around the world as being too rapey. What's up with that? Next year, you're not going to be able to play White Christmas anymore because it's racist. Right? Who's with me?
No.
That's on the way. Okay. First, though, Jensen.
Yes.
We had a conversation a couple of weeks ago that was interesting to me because you apparently are the arbiter of who is and who is not a Hollywood hunk. Please explain.
Yeah, I didn't go for this title. This title was handed to me, but I am the overall end word judge based on who is a Hollywood hunk, which is a term that has been used for decades as far as someone who is attractive enough and brings in enough ticket sales for being attractive to be considered a Hollywood hunk.
So almost more notorious for being hot than doing good work.
Yeah, just someone who drives people to theaters to see how hot they are. That's a Hollywood hunk at its core and its essence. Some reminders of what we did come up with and an update from last time. I believed that Chris Hemsworth, major Hollywood hunk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
I also wanted to let you know that Paul Walker, post rest in peace, is still considered to be a hunk.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, obviously, he's not releasing new films, and if he is, I'll be in line. Ben Affleck was a hunk, no longer a hunk. Tom Cruise in and out of being a hunk. These are things that I just want you to know, but I do want to give you an update. Idris Elba, at the time, I said he was very close. Right now, Hollywood hunk.
What?
Oh. What changed?
Yeah.
I think the sexiest man alive. The way that aged over the next few months, the way people are getting ready for his next movie, and then also the James Bond talk, all of those things come together. Now the ruling is Hollywood hunk.
Like when I think of hunk, I think of like beefcake. Like
not always.
No?
No, not always. For example, from Crazy Rich Asians, Harry Golding, very, very close to becoming a Hollywood hunk. I would say his next movie will tell you.
Oh, if he's on my list. I'll tell you that.
He's going to end up a Hollywood hunk very soon. Yeah.
So it's more about the draw to them.
Yeah, because sometimes women can be attracted to the non-traditional type.
Who would be a not Hollywood hunk?
I mean, in general?
Yeah.
Carrot Top?
Like a Ryan Gosling.
Oh, Hollywood hunk.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds, I think we talked about last time.
Hollywood hunk was ruled a Hollywood hunk last time, yeah.
Okay.
And definitely is still a Hollywood hunk, but they come in and out. You know, we talked about certain people who select movie roles, like a Bradley Cooper, right? Hollywood hunk still, but he's trying his hardest to pick roles so he's no longer a Hollywood hunk. Does that make sense? From Elephant Man to even Star is Born. But he can't run away from his Hollywood hunk status.
Right?
Yeah.
He's too hunky no matter how much he tries to hide.
Nothing he can do about it.
What
about Chris Pine?
Oh, now that's crazy because almost all of the Chrises are hunks, right?
Right.
Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pine, Chris Pratt, Chris Evans. All hunks. All Hollywood hunks.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's in the name, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about Robert Pattinson?
Great question. Robert Pattinson was clearly a Hollywood hunk. Clearly. No question during the Twilight days. Now, with movies like Good Time, he's going a little more artsy. I don't know if I'd call him a Hollywood hunk. I'd say that Zac Efron sort of took that position.
So Zac Efron is a Hollywood hunk.
He is a Hollywood hunk, absolutely.
All right, take it easy.
Allie, don't look at me like that.
I don't know what's going on right now. This is weird.
I am the final word on these things. Please don't look at me like that.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Would you agree? Because we did not have the ladies' perspective last time we had this conversation. Would you agree that Zac Efron is a Hollywood hunk? Because I feel like you would look at him as, because in your mind, he's still the High School Musical kid, he's too young to be a Hollywood hunk.
Well, that changed during Greatest Showman.
Yeah, and Baywatch. Right?
And Baywatch, too. He was really funny in that.
Both Hollywood hunks. I'd also like to welcome a new member to the Hollywood Hunks Club. Welcome Michael B. Jordan.
All right.
Welcome to the Hollywood Hunks Club.
Is he coming in?
Sure. No. He's just in my mind right now.
Absolutely.
All right. Welcome into my brain. You're a Hollywood hunk.
All right. May I throw out a name?
Yes.
David Tennant.
Great question. Great.
Who's he? Doctor Who?
That's Doctor Who.
Okay. Doctor Who. He's a star of Broadchurch. He's been in lots of things.
Ali says no.
And he has a strong sort of Comic Con attraction. He's sort of dreamy in that way.
But he's got the accent, Ali.
But dreamy's different than hunky. He is he's not a Hollywood hunk.
Okay, then going along with that, kind of the same vein.
Yes.
What about Benedict Cumberbatch?
Benedict Cumberbatch is a Hollywood hunk.
I would say Hollywood.
I would say
hunk.
No way too.
No, Benedict Cumberbatch 100% is a great actor. Mm-hmm. We know this, but he also is hunky as hell.
And no.
Yes, he
hunky
is.
As
not
hell.
Even a little
guys,
bit.
He is Mm-mm. hunky.
I mean, he's definitely honky as hell. I know that.
he is
nailed
hunky.
That
Allie, why do you say no? I know you're a huge fan of
oh,
him.
Oh, huge fan. I guess I'm just looking at hunk differently
you
than
are.
You.
You are. Gerard Butler.
Hunk.
Hunk.
Absolutely.
Agreed. Absolute okay. Hollywood hunk.
Yeah.
Shamar Moore. Hollywood hunk. People okay. watch that show because he is hunky.
All right.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. No one's like, I can't wait to watch this procedural. Mm-hmm. They're like, I can't wait to see the hunky ass Shamar Moore.
Okay.
How about Colin Farrell?
Colin Farrell
Ooh,
has
question.
Teetered in Hollywood hunk status. Mm-hmm. I believe right now he is not in Hollywood okay. hunk status.
He just steps over the line a couple of times.
Yes.
But...
He has teetered
okay.
Into Hollywood hunk, mm-hmm. but is not currently in it.
Could Dumbo bring him back?
Are you saying the Dumbo is a Hollywood hunk?
No, the Dumbo
no,
movie.
No, I don't think so, no.
Okay.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Is a Hollywood hunk. Thanks for bringing
so
him
too.
Up. He is a Hollywood hunk.
I think
across
he is.
The board. Across
no,
the board.
No, you say no on that.
Not even a little bit.
He is a Hollywood hunk. How dare you question any of my opinions on this? Because
God.
As I said, I am the final word.
Okay.
And Jake Gyllenhaal has proven time mm-hmm. after time to be not only a good actor, but a dreamboat.
Okay.
What about Jeremy Renner?
Jeremy Renner has been a Hollywood hunk and still kind of is. I'd say he's on the way out, though.
Okay.
Yeah. No!
Yeah. He is.
These are the worst Hollywood hunks ever.
Again, you guys are not going to be going after the same man, it sounds like.
No.
I last time I brought up Chad Michael Murray, that is a great example of someone who is a Hollywood hunk because he was the only reason people tuned into One Tree Hill.
I loved One Tree Hill.
See? Similar, in a way, someone like a Jeremy Renner, people go, oh, that's the new Jeremy Renner film, and then the little butterflies in your stomach, right?
Not even a tiny butterfly.
No, then you're wrong.
How
because,
about
as
Hollywood
I said,
cannibal
word.
Shia LaBeouf?
Shia LaBeouf has never been a Hollywood hunk. I'm
what
sorry,
about Shia LaBeouf?
Shia LaBeouf is.
Okay.
No, Shia LaBeouf is not a Hollywood hunk. I'm a fan of Shia, but that is not, he's not in Hollywood.
I will fight you on this one. Michael Keaton.
You think that Michael
that's
Keaton
a great one.
In 2018
Absolutely.
Is a Hollywood hunk?
Oh, let him in. Yeah.
Kelly's yeah. pointing for those of you that can't see, which is everyone.
Michael Keaton is not a Hollywood hunk, but Batman Days... Clearly a Hollywood hunk.
Mr. Mom Days?
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Okay.
I'll even give you Beetlejuice Out of Makeup Days.
Like, okay.
Like in that era. But also I want to throw out David Beckham. Not in films
Great
necessarily.
Great question.
But is a Hollywood hunk 100%, baby!
Weird.
So weird. David Beckham is.
A couple more.
Never do that dance again, Jensen.
Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig. Ooh, that is a good one.
I don't know that that's even questionable. Of
He's
course.
A Hollywood hunk.
Yeah,
Very
of course.
Hunk,
He's
right?
a Hollywood hunk, yeah. And also, I think people are like, ooh, Daniel Craig, baby. Like, I think people do the Hollywood hunk kind of like, I'm going to see that movie.
Ewan McGregor. What do they sound like?
I'm going to see that movie. Ewan McGregor, not currently a Hollywood hunk, but has definitely been a Hollywood hunk in the past.
From the 818, Kevin Costner.
Oh, great question. Kevin Costner has clearly been a Hollywood hunk.
Okay.
But is no longer one.
Oh. Denzel.
Denzel, early Denzel Hollywood hunk, but unfortunately because of the uncle meme, the one where his teeth are out and he's laughing.
How could a meme make you less of a hunk?
Oh, please, it does. And I know because I'm the final word on Hollywood.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Beer Mug is going to do another drawing at the top of this hour and next to give away some tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. You can meet him on location at the Del Taco in Northridge at 8941 Corbin Avenue in Northridge. When you swing by to say hi and see the Kevin Mean Janky Van, please bring a new unwrapped toy as we help the Spark of Love toy drive this year and give Mugs our best. Mugs, by the way, loves these events at Del Taco.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah.
He stays till like 7 p.m. and he only has to till 10.
Yeah, it's his home court.
Allie is here now. Time for another look at what's happening here on a Tuesday, Kevin and Bean Show.
You guys, I took a nap yesterday and the last thing I saw online was people losing their minds that Netflix was about to let go of Friends as of January 1st, 2019. Contract was up, no more Friends. Get your fill of it right now because it's leaving the service.
And people were losing their minds?
Losing their minds.
Am I the only person who just didn't think that show was that funny?
You are not.
Nope. Okay.
I think most of us enjoyed it when it was on, but quickly lost interest in it after it went away because we didn't need it.
Well, I woke up from my nap, and I don't know what happened. I don't know how long I was asleep. But now, it's not leaving Netflix. Everything's fine, you guys.
What?
The expiration date has been removed, and Netflix said the show's, quote, departure is a rumor. In other words, they renegotiated something they like said, they had no idea how popular
during
Friends
a break.
Was. Right,
by
exactly.
By the way, I've never seen an episode of Friends, but
you know that?
I knew that reference well enough to use it.
You'll know that they pivoted. That will be another reference you'll hear. There was a pivot involved. But, yeah, apparently it's back.
Wow.
But the back
you need
and
to
forth
take more
comes,
naps.
Yeah, as Warner Brothers prepares to launch its own streaming service in the fourth quarter of 2019. Everyone's going to have a streaming
service.
Oh, my
gosh. How many subscriptions are we going to have?
I don't know. It's insane.
I sure hope Ross and Rachel make it, though. I hope they get back together because they seem to be on the outs a little bit right now.
The show's over, though.
It's been over for decades,
A lot of people were saying it's their go-to show, like when they just want to have something on, that's what they go. That's their comfort food, is Friends, apparently.
So that's people were cheaters.
Wigged out.
There you have it.
Yeah, that's how I chill out.
Excellent. Hey, you guys, Will Ferrell is bringing back Anchorman. Oh, not as a movie. Just his character, Ron Burgundy. He's coming out of retirement for a new podcast. The podcast is going to launch in early 2019. It's produced by Funny or Die. And the show has already been given a 2-season, 12-episode order.
Bitch, gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day.
I mean, what's better than Ron Burgundy?
I do love me some
almost
Ron
nothing, right?
Much, yeah,
I like it a lot.
Yeah. I'll listen to that.
Yeah. Another thing. Not sure if you saw this online yesterday. There was a picture of Sully, who was George H.W. Bush's dog.
Oh, not Sully, the guy who saved that plane?
No, not him.
Oh, I'm tuning out.
Laying in front of the casket.
Yes.
And it was this heartbreaking image of this dog whose owner had passed away, and now who's going to take care of the dog? And it's just all so sad. So it's a beautiful picture.
Mm-hmm.
We all got the feels from it, right?
Right.
He was stapled to the ground.
We all love dogs.
He was No, he was glued to the ground.
No.
He was ready to eat his owner.
Oh,
all
right. No. Here's the thing. Slate. This is the headline that everyone just started losing it on Slate because, good God, Slate. Here it is. Sully is a service dog who had been with the president for 6 months, not his lifelong companion. Okay, so it's less sad? Like, somehow the dog cared less because he was only with him for 6 months? And the whole article is like,
why not just let the dog
absolutely
care about his
own? The whole article was like, oh, don't feel that bad for Sully. Like, you barely knew him. And all I was thinking was, whoever wrote that, like, someone's like, hey, did you write about the passing of the president? Yeah, really stuck it to Sully. F that dog. I really nailed this one. Slate, what is wrong with you?
In the defense, though, the dog, I really actually think the dog could think he's sleeping. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm actually, of course, he may not understand.
Yeah, I don't
what's
think he's
on.
Like, I'm keeping, you know, guard for my dead owner. Like, I think he's just like, he's going to wake up soon and I'll be there.
And that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's sad.
So why take that away? It's insane. Like, oh, dog didn't even really know him. It was only 6 months. How much could he love him?
Look, Slate. We don't deserve dogs.
No,
we
don't.
That was more proof of it.
We don't.
And by the way, I'm happy to announce for folks who haven't heard is that Sully will get a new owner. They're sending him back to Walter Reed, and he's going to be hooked up with another soldier who needs help and needs care. So
that's good.
His mission is not accomplished.
Well, wait till Slate comes out with a new article.
Right?
Yeah, that guy's not heard enough. For Sully. He needs someone really hurt in a war. What is wrong with people?
Sully's new job is he's
yes.
There it
is. Thank you.
Thinking of you's working up my appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together make the sparks ignite. And the thought of loving you is getting so exciting.
I love that.
I do too. Hey, can I interest you guys in some free pizza?
Please.
Yay. Sure.
Blaze Pizza in Westlake Village is going to offer guests a free build your own pizza. And they're going to be collecting money for the Ventura County Community Foundation. That's raising money for those affected by the fires.
That's nice.
And 100% of the donations received are going to go to the VCCF to support those fire victims. It's all happening tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. That's at Blaze Pizza, 3980 Thousand Oaks Boulevard in TO. enjoy that. So you go down. You don't have to deal with that guy. You're going to get a free build-your-own pizza and donate some money. It's a good deal, you guys.
Don't be the person who goes and gets the free pizza and doesn't donate.
Because
we will say your name on air.
Yes. Yes. Talking to you, Jeff and Camarillo.
Whoa. Did you say Jeff?
I did say Jeff.
What's wrong with
our cycles are synced.
Oh, yay.
You guys been working together too long now?
Wow.
Some birthdays for you. Tyra Banks.
I'm not looking for ANTM as in America's Next Top Martian. I'm looking for America's Next Top what?
How great, though, if, like, an alien was just like, whoops, and then, like, leaves the shot.
I'm in the wrong show.
I went to the wrong casting. Beep, boop, 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 boop. That's what aliens say.
Jeff.
Jeff Bridges, Marissa Tomei, Fred Armisen, and Jay-Z.
We're going to deal with Jensen's Supreme hat coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. There must be an age limit on some things you could wear, right?
We'll find out.
I would think so, yeah.
This story surprised me. Maybe it shouldn't, because every year around the time that Christmas music starts getting played on the radio, I see more and more think pieces on whether it may be time to bury Baby It's Cold Outside. This is a classic song from the 1940s that won an Academy Award for Best Song that year. And it's a man and a woman who are at the end of a date, and she wants to go home, I guess is fair to say. And
no.
He is being persuasive as possible to get her
Allie,
to stay.
She wants to leave.
Already wrong.
So anyway, point is she's trying... She's saying she wants to leave. Maybe you're saying her mind is saying something else, but...
No.
She is saying she wants to leave.
The whole point of the song is she wants to stay, she wants to get down, but she knows what society is going to say, because the song was written in 1944, so she is to keep coming up with, oh, well, my mom's going to talk, and my brother's going to talk, and my aunt is vicious, and all this stuff. So every time he comes back at her with a reason, her whole thing is like,
Well, thank God he just kept pushing then. You know what I mean?
Thank God he didn't take no for an answer. So anyway, before we get into Allie's defense of the song, just to finish the thought. So now a radio station in America very publicly has decided, and they put it to their listeners and said, hey, is this song too rapey for the Me Too era? And the feedback that they got was, yes, it is. So they're not going to play it anymore. This is WDOK, Star 102.3, has pulled the song from the rotation. They say no more. And by the way, they're not the only radio station that has made this decision. So the discussion is, are people overreacting to this song? As Allie says, are we misreading the song from its original intention, the way it was written in the 1940s? So let's hear a little bit of it. Let's go through it. You know, there are hundreds and hundreds of versions. Everybody has done this song, you know, from Willie Nelson to Rod Stewart to CeeLo Green to Garth Brooks to Amy Grant to Fantasia. I mean, there are so many versions of this. But I think we have selected the Idina Menzel and Michael Bublé version. So let's go through and stop and start and see what we think about it. So far, everybody happy with it? So far, we're good?
So far, so good.
Okay.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I gotta go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been.
I'm hoping that you dropped
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like
my
mine.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
My father
hurry?
Will be pacing the floor.
Listen to that fireplace
so
roar.
Really, better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't
well,
hurry.
Maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while I...
Okay, stop
maybe
right there.
Maybe just a half a drink more.
Because she's intimidated. Because he's in front of the door.
He's not in front of the door.
I'm in front of the door.
I don't believe those are the lyrics.
No. I don't think anyone's suggesting at this point, verse one, that she's not having a great time with this dude and happy to be there. She hasn't really started to protest seriously. She did mention that her mom will start to worry, but she's a grown-up. That's legit.
Stop grabbing my arms.
She didn't say that either. So far, I have no problem with the song. Let's see what happens next.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might think,
baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
Okay.
Is that the problem?
All right. What about the roofie, Allie? How do you defend the roofie?
You're looking at it under the lens of 2018.
No, CeeLo did perform this.
This was a song written in 1944.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That was a line that they would do in movies all the time. Like, it was under the cover of Loose Lips. Like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. What's in this drink? It's about... You have a buzz. There's soon to be some risque behavior. Oh. What's in this drink? Oh, I'm going to make out with you. Huh? You're looking at it as 2018. It didn't mean drugging someone back then. Context matters, you guys.
I don't think it's a roofie, but I do think that there's more alcohol that than she wants in the drink.
She just said a line before, well, maybe just half a drink more.
Yeah, and there's too much in it.
Fully awake, then stop drinking it. Let's have a little pride, ladies.
I'm with Allie. It sounds
it's ridiculous.
It sounds like she's just sort of tipsy and happy and at a party. And I'm with Allie. I don't think she's being roofied, for God's sake.
No means no.
Okay, so far at this point in the song, Kevin, you're still playing it. You're not dropping it from the playlist. Okay, let's hear some more.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlights.
To break this spell.
I'll take your hat.
Well,
your
thank
hair
you.
Looks swell.
I ought to say no,
mind
no,
if
sir.
I'm moving
at
closer.
Least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of...
Boom! I ought to say no, 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 but I don't wanna. But I'm gonna say I tried because all of you a-holes are gonna say I'm a slut. But you know what? I'll say I tried because that way I've got a little bit of cover there. No, you want to bone the dude. Stay and bone the dude.
What's in this drink?
So in 1944, Allie, if I understand correctly, what you're saying is there's no way a respectable woman could have sex out of marriage.
No, so not in 1944.
Yeah, so therefore she's basically looking for what her defense is going to be if
Absolutely.
Anyone accuses her.
This is a reach,
say,
guys.
What's in this
I
drink?
Feel like, I don't think
I feel
this
like
is
Allie's
a reach. Winning me over here,
I
by
don't
the
think
way.
This is a reach, Jensen. I think yours is stretching it
You're looking
way too
at
far.
It under the lens
Agreed.
Of 2018.
No, I'm not. I didn't think roofies. What I'm saying is I think that she is saying, I think it's time for me to go. And he is not even listening. He's like, your hair looks nice. Like, he's not even addressing the thing you're talking about.
Well, then
if at any point he said, don't worry about what other people think or anything along those lines, or like, oh, you know, we'll keep it between us. I'm down for that because I like adult R&B. Trust
well,
me. I'm down for secrets to be kept in music.
And they didn't say things like that in 1944.
Well,
it was all about, oh, this person's going to worry, this person's going to worry, people are going to talk.
And that could be good. Maybe he should be like, you're right, reputation sucks.
It does sound like they're both flirting, though. It does sound like
well,
that to
me. This is the text from the 818 that just came in. Baby, It's Cold Outside is a classic that is flirty and sexy. Keep it on.
I mean, who wrote that?
And get it on, by the way. It sounds like he did.
I'm just saying, stop being such goddamn snowflakes. It's a song.
Guys, it's not even a good song, one.
Agreed.
A, it's not.
Oh,
it is not.
It's not a good song.
If we're going to lose any song, I'm fine with this one. I also just think he sounds creepy in it. I think we can address the idea that it's not like a problematic rapey song, but it also just sounds weird.
It's a guy trying to get laid and a girl that wants to, but she's trying to think of every reason not to because she doesn't want to feel bad because she's going to be pigeonholed as a whore of 1944. She goes on to say, well, maybe just a cigarette more. Okay, fine, just another drink then. You're saying that he wore her down.
Yeah.
I'm saying she wanted to be wore down.
Okay,
I mean, that is such a crazy subtext. Guys, if Allie McKay saw you anything right now, wear a woman down until she eventually
no,
is like...
No,
she's saying
no, here's the thing. Women know how to say no and leave. And if you don't know how to say no and leave, maybe you shouldn't be dating. And I know there's whole different circumstances where we get scared and we want to, like, not lead a guy on and not do this, not do that. There are ways out of situations.
Okay,
but
let me ask this question.
This is not one of them.
We're out of time, but let me ask this question, Allie, and this is a serious question. You've convinced me that the song is fine. It's sexy and flirty, and she has the ability to leave but doesn't want to, and if it goes down, it's going to be consensual. But we can't have this conversation and explain this all every single time that song comes up in rotation on hundreds of radio stations around the country. So isn't it open to misinterpretation because most listeners are listening through the ears of a 2018 person?
If you want to listen to it, go ahead and listen to it. Hear what you want to hear, but context matters. Period. End of discussion. It matters. And in this case, it definitely matters.
But what I'm saying is people are going to hear it and they're not going to hear this discussion. They're only going to hear it through the lens of...
everybody, this next song, Baby, It's Cold Outside. For those who worry, this song is not about rape. There is total consent between the two. It's flirty banter from the 1940s.
Well,
hit it, Steve.
I think if you want to believe it's rapey, instead of looking at the words and looking at the context, you're going to believe it's rapey. But if you actually took the time, instead of having a knee-jerk reaction to something because someone's telling you it's rapey, then you're going to be an a-hole that has a knee-jerk reaction to everything. Good night.
Listener on Twitter, KMK, says at the Kevin Bean Twitter account, at Kevin Bean, now that we've dissected whether Baby It's Cold Outside is cool in 2018, tomorrow can we discuss whether Frosty had a death wish? After all, Frosty knew the sun was hot that day. We may have to tackle that one tomorrow, you
yes,
guys.
Yes, we can is the answer to that.
All right, I just put up a photo on the my Twitter account, at Clyde Tumbaugh. I think Dave will retweet it from at Kevin and Bean, of me wearing my latest T-shirt. It's a Little Peep T-shirt, R.I.P., Little Peep. Mm-hmm. And we also put up a photo of Jensen wearing his Supreme hat.
Yeah.
Now, Supreme, for folks who don't know, is an incredibly hot right now fashion brand.
Yeah, it's worth $1 billion.
It's worth $1 billion, and it's essentially it's just the word Supreme in white letters on a red background, but they make them limited edition enough that people go crazy and they resell on eBay for like 10 times what you pay for. They're both youth culture items.
Yeah.
They're not meant for people my age or even your age,
yes,
Jensen.
I'm 39 for reference.
So the question on the table is, and Kevin, I bet you run into this all the time because you, like me, are a full-time guy wearing shorts, right?
Of course.
The question is there a point at which you are too old to pull off a certain look, a fashion look or a hairstyle or a jewelry look or something like that, where you just start to look embarrassing for your family?
I feel like I've
oh,
I feel like I've looked embarrassing for my family since I was a kid. Uh-huh. So maybe I'm the wrong one to judge this.
Allie, what are your thoughts on me, an 85-year-old man?
You look great. You look
wearing
great
a Little Peep T-shirt.
It's insane. No, here's my whole thing.
Okay.
If you feel comfortable,
mm-hmm,
and you feel good and you're not hurting anyone,
wear
what you want to wear. However, I will say this. I recently joined a dating service.
Okay.
And I used to, back in the day, love, like, the long hair surfer guys. That was my jam. If you look like your hair tastes salty, bring it in. I see those dudes on there now, and I'm like, oh, grow up. Cut that hair. What are you doing? So, I mean, I do. I absolutely do judge people on certain looks, for sure.
See, it's very much, I wear a lot of things because I like hip-hop culture, and mm-hmm, hip-hop culture is so based in youth, so it's like,
right,
I'll wear a Supreme hat and look like I'm a narc. But I will say, I think that backwards hats,
mm-hmm,
and skateboarding,
yeah,
are like two to me that, like, if you're like an older dude and you're doing those things, I'm like, do you have a job?
But what if you're Tony Hawk?
Well, then you're in.
He or gets Fred an Durst. Exception. He
okay.
gets
yeah.
an
exception.
Or Fred
rule, yeah.
Durst,
or
did
Fred
you
Durst.
Say?
Yeah.
I heard you.
Now, I've tried to be, look, I'm an incredibly hip guy.
Yes.
We all can agree on that. And I'm on the leading edge of culture.
Sure.
We all know. But I have tried to be cognizant of this. I mean, I did get to a point where I said, you know what? I like having my hair long. But like Allie said, I don't think it looks good at my age. So I don't. When I turned 30, I stopped wearing earrings. I took earrings out of my ear. And I said, you know what? I feel like I can still pull this off. I'm a youthful looking 30. But I don't want to be that guy. I could see down the road. And I didn't want to end up like Morgan Freeman or Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
One of these guys who's in his 70s and still walking around with an earring. You say, Allie, do it if it feels good.
That's what I think, say, too.
But I think it looks ridiculous when Harrison Ford and Morgan Freeman show up with an earring.
Not
but
up
I don't
to
think,
you.
I don't think they care what you think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if it makes them happy, who cares?
Right? Do you think Ed Bradley was like, oh, I wonder if some guy named Bean cares about this?
No,
I mean, he doesn't now. But
no, I mean, no, because he's
less
good
now, right?
But yeah. I don't want to look more ridiculous than I already do. I guess that's what it is.
I've given up on that goal.
Yeah,
see,
I mean,
that's the difference
between
yeah,
Kevin
you
dresses like he's a Pac Sun model every day.
So that's why I asked, like, I'm wearing this Little Peep T-shirt today. And again, I'm wearing it not because I think, oh, that's what the young people are into. I legitimately am a fan.
It's also not not ironic.
And I have been, not ironic. I have been, as Jensen has, have been moved this year by how great an artist he was.
Yeah.
And I sincerely miss him and want to show my fandom here. But when I walk out this door in an hour and a half to go get food, are people going to point and laugh at Grandpa wearing a little Peep t-shirt?
Yeah, my mom used to wear, when she would walk the dog, she would wear my, like, sleep shirts and stuff, like things that I had had from years before. So she wears a WooWear shirt all the time.
I love it.
When she's walking the dog. And she's like, every once in a while, someone will honk and be like, honk, honk, Wu-Tang forever! My 60-year-old mother.
But they never point, they never said anything negative?
No, they love it.
Well, that's funny.
No, they love it. But yeah, I feel like I wore this hat for this bit, but I do feel like when I go out with it, I do feel like I'm about to be like, hey, you guys smoke drugs? You know what I mean? Or like, like I feel like
the Steve Buscemi
meme. Yeah.
What's the saying? What you think about me is none of my business.
You think about me is none of my business.
No, I like it.
So if you feel good, everything, what you're doing is you're taking other people's opinions onto yourself.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
If you like Lil Peep, you like your shirt, wear your shirt, Bean.
Now, does this
you have
go
bigger
for...
problems. You have Taylor Swift shirts.
Right.
Taylor Swift's cat shirt.
Yeah.
Well, I will never
That's
apologize.
A much bigger problem.
I will never apologize for that. But let me ask you, Ali, does this translate to people who wear things that are completely inappropriate for their age or body size just because they feel comfortable with it? Like, if you got a huge belly and you're wearing a half shirt, male or female... Mm-hmm. If you're comfortable and you like it, screw how it looks to everybody else.
That's funny. Think. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's your thing. I might go, ooh, that's not my choice. But you know what? That's exactly the point. It's not your choice.
That short shirt care about on a 75-year-old woman? Okay
why?
With you.
I'm sorry. Why not?
It's not you.
Rock it.
Okay. All right. Let's see what the Kevin and Bean listeners think. Shall we? 1-800-520-1067. What's the question? How are we posing this? Are there things that you wear that you have questions about or things that you've been told are inappropriate for your age?
Yeah, you've been told that or you feel like you're too old for that.
I mean, we've already gotten a text that explains it perfectly. It's Edwin from 562. And he said, my sister-in-law is 60 years old and wears juicy sweats. Denied. Perfect.
Allie would say, go for it, sister-in-law, right?
Why not?
Everybody agrees.
1-800-520-1067 is the phone number if you'd like to call on this topic, and we'll take calls next.
All right. In our Is This Too Old discussion, 30 plus too old for true religion or affliction stuff, says Chris. What do you guys think?
Absolutely. Unless you're drunk and asking me for more drinks in Vegas. That's the only place you can wear it and be that old.
We'll take more of your calls next on this topic. How do you do, fellow kids?
Stupid.
Talking about my little Peep t-shirt and Jensen Supreme hat, the question is, are you ever too old to wear certain things, or do you follow Allie's advice and just wear what you feel? You do you. Nerdy guy writes in on the Kevin Bean Twitter account, your old ass needs to start wearing some grown man clothes. John says, not if you're trolling for kids. At your age, maybe go for priest or ice cream truck driver. I think that's hurtful.
Man.
Wow.
And this one from Pat, if kids make fun of you, remember they're the ones who ate Tide Pods. So I think there's a lot of opinions going around on this topic. Let's get back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with Michelle, please, line one.
Hey, Michelle.
Hi.
Hey, Michelle, welcome from Riverside. What's going on?
Okay, so I had this teacher in high school. She was my algebra teacher. I think she was about 50, maybe 55, and she would wear these, like, really tight shirts and low-cut shirts, and it wasn't cute. You know, she's 50, 55, things were obviously wrinkled, and...
So, Michelle, she didn't look good.
She was not hot for teacher.
She wasn't, she wasn't able to pull it off.
No. I had this, my anatomy teacher actually at one point very discreetly said it. You know, we have some teachers here that should be shopping at Old Navy who are still shopping at Forever 21.
Oh, wow. I love that it was the anatomy teacher.
But, I mean, what about what makes her happy and what makes her feel good? Is there anything to that?
I mean, I think she should know, like, she's older. Maybe she shouldn't be wearing something at a high school that's that industry.
I'm just I'm just reminding you, Halle Berry is in her 50s, but I mean, I guess not everybody is Halle Berry.
Right. That's the exception.
I appreciate the call, though, Michelle. Thank you so much. Let's go to let's go to Isabel. Menifee, line four, please, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Four.
Yeah. Isabel, hi.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. What do you have?
Okay, so I need you guys to help me settle something.
Oh, no.
That has been going on for the past good 3 to 5 years. My husband will be 35 in a couple months, and he still has that teenager look with the snapback fitted hat.
Jensen, you're our hat guy on the show. Snapback fitted hats at 35.
Well, I don't wear fitted hats. I do wear snapback hats, and I recently have been trying to transition away from them because I do feel like I'm trying to be like Jadakiss or something at 40 years old. I look terrible. So I understand that I could look awful. Isabel, is what you're saying is that your husband looks like he's trying to be an extra in a rap video.
Yeah, he looks like he could go up to like these cool teenagers and ask them if they want to smoke some drugs.
Yeah, she's right. And I get that. Snapbacks give that feeling off. She's right.
Give your husband Jensen's number or email address, and he'll be happy to help talk him down, okay?
Yeah.
He reminds me of the whole look with the upside-down visor to the side.
Oh, sure.
Dear.
Sure. Yeah,
that's a whole different thing.
That's a good one. Thank you for the call. Good luck with him. Let's go to Long Beach Line 5. This is going to be Josh. He's got a very sweeping generalization. Let's see if it holds.
Hey, Josh.
So, hey, good morning, party people.
Morning.
Morning.
I'm 34 now. When I was in my early to mid-20s, I went through that whole emo phase using a hair straightener on your long hair to
right.
get that kind of angsty look.
Right.
And I think if you're over 30... that look is just can't pass with the tight pants and the belt with the studs on it and stuff. If you're over 30, it just doesn't hold up. Now, I do think there's a caveat, though. I think if you're past 60, you can pull off any look you want to because it's just...
Because then it's funny. Because you're a crazy old person. You can get away with it.
Yeah, people think your brain has stopped working.
Yeah. But I think if you're between 30 and 60, I think that's the point at which you need to be an adult. But past 60, it's fair game.
Okay. I actually agree. I'm with Josh. I think that emo has a real Peter Pan syndrome to it, and people don't grow up. You can still like the music and not dress like your Pete Wentz in 2003, you know?
I'm just going to say, exactly. you're going to see some looks at the forum this weekend AFI.
I'm down, guys.
You know what's interesting, though? Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. What's interesting, though, is when you're 15 and you're making fun of guys who are 30 or 35 or something like that, you think they're really old. When you get to be that guy who's 35, you don't feel like an old person. You still feel like you're vital and young and can pull it off.
Yeah, I say, like, if I saw a 40-year-old wearing a Cypress Hill shirt, I'd be like, look at that idiot. And now when I wear my Cypress Hill shirt, I'm like, I'm only 40.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Hey, just ahead of Allie's What's Happening, let's check back in on the street with our man Beer Mug, who is at the Del Taco in Northridge right now, and find out how it's going. Muggsy.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Right.
Nope. It's Santa Bugs. What are you doing down there, and for how long, Muggs?
Well, we're going to be here for about another half hour. We're 5 minutes away for our final top-of-the-hour drawing for K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas tickets. There, we have a bunch of people standing outside the Kevin and Bean Janky van right now.
All right.
And the full-size shipping box that we brought to fill up with Spark of Love toys is now completely full.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Great people coming out here and braving the cold.
That's great. There is still time, though, if you want to swing by with a new unwrapped toy. We are participating this year with the Spark of Love, that's the firefighters organization that gets toys for kids that need it this year. And while you are there, how about the K-Rock t-shirts? You all out of those, Muggs?
All out, fresh out. We have some lanyards left and some other couple
yeah,
goodies.
Yeah, I'm stopping by to get a lanyard. and a photo with Muggs if you want, and a picture of the Kevin Bean Janky van, and get some delicious Del Taco while you're there. 8941 Corbin Avenue, Northridge is where he is today. New location tomorrow. Thanks, Muggs. Oh,
wait,
we appreciate the good
Muggs,
work.
Muggs, before you go, how many tacos have you had?
I've lost count after 12.
Okay, because I'm just saying a guy named Jonathan Conger wound up tweeting all of us or Instagramming a picture and tagging all of us of you in line a couple hours ago. So,
oh, yeah. That wasn't the only time I was in line.
I was going to say, good for you, Muggs. Good for you.
Muggs is no dummy. All right, man. We'll talk to you later. Thanks so much. Time for what's happening here on this Tuesday.
He's a gift, you guys.
He really is.
He is an absolute gift.
Yeah, he really is.
Oh, you guys, it's National Cookie Day, and I'm sorry for just bringing this up now. I mean, we could have been celebrating all morning.
I don't see any cookies.
I saw a tweet the other day that I had to bring up because, I don't agree with it, but please stop baking raisins into perfectly good treats. What's wrong with you? Use chocolate chips and quit being a dick. And it has 1,636 likes. Her name is at Marissa Roberto. And people were saying, like, oh, I love a raisin oatmeal. And
I
she's, like, blocked, reported. She's just getting mad at people in the whole thing. But there are some really anti-raisin people.
Sure.
Well, you know what I think it is partly, I'm just guessing, mm-hmm. is that a lot of people are fine with raisins until you have something to compare them to. And nothing beats a chocolate chip. I think that's what it is.
I don't think it has to be. I mean, you don't put chocolate chip in oatmeal.
Mm-mm.
Right, but cookies. We're talking about cookies, though, aren't we?
Mostly? Yes, but I'm saying cookies, you put raisins in oatmeal cookies, and they're fine. But you don't have the option to put chocolate chips in there.
Somebody wrote in this thread, and I'm sorry, I've been thinking about this thread for 2 days.
It sounds like it.
They wrote, most requested cookie from most companies is oatmeal with no raisins. Quit ignoring the voice of the people. Could that be true?
That's
because
I think
what makes an oatmeal cookie so good is that just that bite of raisin, you're all tangy.
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed, yeah.
Okay. Well, that was cookie
Could
talk.
I hear that noise again?
Tangy.
Okay.
Just saying, I love a warm oatmeal cookie with raisins.
Allie, do you bake at all?
Oh, like a demon.
So no,
is that not even a little
okay.
bit. I keep sweaters in my oven, you guys.
Oh my God, it's like an extra closet space for you.
It is. I don't know how to turn it on.
That's probably for the best.
It is. I learned it when I was living in Boston. I didn't have a lot of room, so I'd keep sweaters in. Oh, good Lord, you guys. So on Sunday, they had a benefit for people that were displaced with the fires. It was the One Love Malibu benefit. A lot of people performed. But what's getting a lot of traction is Katy Perry, who was auctioning off a date with Orlando Bloom. It included a motorcycle ride, a lunch. But if you watch the video of this, it started getting weird. There's a guy up there trying to auction it off, and Katie starts saying, you're going to hold him in a way that I'm not excited about. You're holding his pecs and his six-pack. It's so glorious. You get to hold on to Orlando for about 45 minutes, and then you get to stare into his brown eyes. And you could see as she's saying it, she's like, this was a bad idea. So a woman named Laura bids $20,000 for the experience.
Wow.
And the guy up there auctioning is like, hell yeah, this is awesome, wonderful. Until Katie says, Laura, I'm sorry, I'm going to buy it for $50,000. And she drops the mic literally and walks off the stage. It was awesome, but kind of weird, and I'm worried for Orlando a little bit.
Insecure much, Katie?
If you watch the video, you're going to be like, it's getting weird. It's no longer a joke.
That
it's
is
no
strange.
Longer fun. This is weird. And you know Laura was pissed.
Sure.
She's like, excuse me.
I bid 20,000.
20 grand of my hard-earned money to feel his pecs on a motorcycle. So, that was a fun time. That's all I'm saying. By the way, you guys, we were going to have the Grammy nominations tomorrow, but instead, they have been pushed back to Friday morning. And they're doing it because of the scheduled memorial services for former President George H.W. Bush. So they've decided to not have the Grammy noms tomorrow. Instead, they'll do it Friday. I had no idea that they suspend mail service tomorrow.
They do?
They do. They don't usually.
No.
I don't remember. I mean, it's been 10 years since we lost a president, but I don't think they did it last time.
Yeah,
where
so
they
if.
Closed
if
the post office down.
You're expecting something in the mail tomorrow. Like that little cloak that I had ordered.
Sure.
They said it might come this week.
Oh, now your Mrs. Claus outfit?
My Mrs. Claus cloak for Acoustic Christmas. Now it's being pushed back another day. So way to go, George H.W. Bush.
Right? He couldn't have held on until after Acoustic Christmas. When I saw the news about the Grammy nominations, mm-hmm. I thought, well, what does one have to do with the other? And then it occurred to me it's available television time.
Right. It's the live programming.
It's the network mm-hmm. that would be carrying the Grammy announcements instead is going to be doing funeral coverage.
Right.
So I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
And it would be bad form just to like scroll it across the bottom.
Yes, it would.
Record of the year. Like just bad. Don't do that. They won't. Some birthdays for you. Jeff Bridges, Tyra Banks.
I'm 34A, but that's okay, because the rest of my body is just touche. I'm 5'9", I look so fine, yes, all my fellas are so divine. When I'm finished with this, you might as well just dismiss all the other lady rappers, because y'all just
so it's her with Flava Flav.
Oh, I thought it was Muggos. Wasn't sure. What about a Tyra Muggos mashup? Huh? All right. Jay-Z, happy birthday, and happy birthday to Fred Armisen.
Let me tell you about Stuart Fasoli from San Pietro. He is a winner in life, and especially right now on the Kevin and Bean Show, because he just picked up floor tickets for both nights of K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018, which is happening this weekend at the Forum. If you missed the announcement earlier today, some production holds have been released, so there may be some pretty good seats available last minute if you want to go to Ticketmaster.com. Meanwhile, keep on listening to K-Rock for your chance to win.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42.
I don't know. I hear that, and I wonder, is there any room for any more bands on Acoustic Christmas this weekend? Or
I don't think
are
so.
Are we all filled up?
I think we're all full.
Because I feel like that would be we're good. That would be it. That
well,
would be
we're good.
One. That would be the one.
We're good.
Hey, Ali's here with our final look at what's happening here on a Tuesday morning.
Well, what's happening is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It's in theaters on December 14th, but boy, do I have something for you right now. I'm going to give callers 10 through 14 a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse at Pacific's The Grove on December 11th. You're going to see it a full 3 days earlier than those losers that have to wait until it's out. So give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and we'll take callers 10 through 14. And you're going to head to that K-Rock advanced screening at Pacific's The Grove on December 11th of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Hey, Tom, what's it like being the Amazing Spider-Man?
It's really cool.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, quite the exclusive
right?
you got right mm-hmm. then. Amazing stuff. So we were talking earlier about, places that you refrain from using your phone. And one of those places is at a Broadway show. You just put your phone away. If you need to look at it, there's an intermission. You'll be fine.
Nobody needs you that much.
Nobody does.
And if they do, don't go to a play.
Yeah. So there's a show called The Cher Show, and it tells the story of the early life and career of Cher. And the young man that is playing Sonny Bono, his name is Jared Spector. He tweeted this last night. Hey, Kanye West. So cool that you're here at The Cher Show. If you look up from your cell phone, you'll see we're doing a show up here. It's opening night. Kind of a big deal for us. Thanks so much.
I'm sorry for the realness.
So somebody that had Kanye's phone and his Twitter login wrote this back. The dynamics of Cher and Sonny's relationship made Kim and I grab each other's hand and sing, I got you, babe. Please pardon my lack of etiquette. You have so much appreciation. We have so much appreciation for the energy you guys put into making this masterpiece. And Kanye didn't write that.
That's so stupid.
Come on.
And why would anybody that's writing it for him think that we would all buy that?
That anyone would believe that.
Right, it's absurd.
So the New York Times reached out to his representatives, and it says, Mr. West's representative acknowledged the phone use, saying, quote, Kanye was on his phone taking notes. He loved the show and was incredibly impressed by the production. So now you're taking notes during a Broadway show? Come on.
This would only
social
be funny.
Social media told you that people didn't like me, but everybody loves me.
I don't think everybody
loves Ye.
It would be funny, though, if the next social media is the longest clip.
It makes you think something different.
He never stops talking. It would be funny if his next album is completely, like, all Sonny and Cher.
Just stolen.
Just to show you.
Yeah. And all the production is totally from the show.
It's I Got You, Babe, over and over.
Oh, I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Put your phone away. Stop using your phone during Broadway shows. And congratulations to Eddie Murphy. He and his fiancée, Paige Butcher, have welcomed their second child together, and that makes the grand total of Eddie Murphy's children an even number 10. Hmm. 10 kids.
10 kids.
He's the father of 10 children.
Do you think he could name them all?
I bet he could. Yeah, they range in age from a week old to 29. So he's been busy for three decades. That's amazing.
What does he do, really? Nothing?
Wow. Now?
Yeah.
He has so many things in development that never happen.
Oh, really?
They were talking about bringing back Beverly Hills Cop on TV in a movie, and then that never happened. It did happen, but not without him.
Where does he get money from? Just residuals from his movies?
Oh, yeah. And he used to get paid crazy numbers. And I don't think he lives like a Michael Jackson lifestyle. I think he still is able to... And he like supposedly doesn't leave his house much, so I don't think he's spending a ton.
Yeah.
Favorite Eddie Murphy movie?
Raw.
Okay, concert film.
Considered a movie?
Concert film, that'll work.
Yeah.
Look, the classics, obviously, are the Beverly Hills Cop and 48 Hours, but I watch Bowfinger every time it's on.
Bowfinger's my favorite.
Bowfinger, I like
it's the best.
Bowfinger's amazing.
Incredible.
Coming to America is amazing.
Yeah, those are my two.
That's good, too.
Those are my two.
Did he do Meet the Clumps? Was that even him?
Well, I mean, he is in the Clumps. What do you think?
Yeah.
Someone else stepped
in?
So.
Yeah, someone was like
Jay
hey,
Farrell was
me.
Like, oh, I'm a Clump, too.
I'm me. I'm not
no,
want you to
I think that
meet
was
the
where he played everybody.
Yeah.
I don't need Dr. Doolittle.
No, I don't need the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
Agreed.
There's a few we could pass on, but...
Nutty Professor?
Super talented kid. That's for sure he was.
Yep.
It was a weird sentence structure, wasn't it?
Sure was.
What are you, Yoda?
It's a little bit odd. So are Madonna and Lady Gaga, are they feuding? Do we know
Hopefully.
What is happening here? So the latest dig went down after a video compilation circulated of Gaga saying, there can be 100 people in a room and 99 of them don't believe in you. But all it takes is one and it changes your whole life. And people on Team Madonna... say it sounds just like Madonna, what she said in the 1980s. If there are 100 people in a room and 99 say they liked it, I only remember the one who didn't. So really, it's the opposite.
That's the opposite of
the
what
she exact
said.
Opposite of what she said. So then Madonna posted an image of herself that fans read as a direct dig at Gaga. It was captioned, "Don't F with me Monday." Or maybe she just woke up and was having a crap Monday. But everyone's like, nope, total dig at Gaga right there. Because Gaga loves Mondays.
It's just, it's Garfield?
The weirdest. It's the weirdest.
It's not a great beef.
Beef ever. No. Like, stop projecting.
Also, it's that stupid two women can't be famous thing that we're also doing to Nicki Minaj and Cardi B and seem to be successful at now. It's just stupid. We don't have to pin people against each other.
But Team Nikki, right?
Oh, yeah, all the way.
Okay.
What happened to Madonna's face?
Plus there's that.
There's that as well. You guys, I saw this article and I thought, oh, I hate this Harvard professor. How do we get him to stop doing these things? This is a man named Eric Rim. He works at Harvard's nutrition department. And he wrote an article for the New York Times where he says... you should only eat 6 fries as a proper portion. F you, Eric Rim. He did this whole thing about fries being starch bombs and people who eat fries 2 or 3 times a week had higher risk of diabetes, obesity, and cardiovascular disease.
You go to hell, you son of a bitch.
Well, sure, if you're eating like a ton of fries a week, but to limit them to 6 is a portion. How dare you, sir?
Come on!
Oh! You! 6 fries.
To avoid going over the 6 fry limit,
it's not possible.
Doctors recommend that you share a plate with friends alongside healthier food. Come on!
Is he missing the point of French fries?
I think so!
I believe so, yeah.
How are you a Harvard professor? So dumb!
Look, you take into account before you go to a fast food restaurant that is not good for you, and then you enjoy it.
Right.
It's all part of the deal.
There are places that have bottomless fries. And those places are churches to me.
That's heaven, absolutely.
I can't even imagine someone saying, six, please.
And when I initially read that, I was like, oh, six fries at a time. Okay, that makes sense, because you're just putting six fries into your mouth. Sure. That's fine.
That's normal.
Oh, no, that's a portion.
That's the whole thing.
That's it for you.
This Harvard professor needs to start using less air. That's what I say.
Amen. Yeah, I'd rather die.
I want him in the ground.
Yeah. Buried with 150 fries.
Yes. It's all silly. It's all silly. Let's talk about some birthdays. Something about, you know, being reborn. Marissa Tomei.
We thought you were going to go on after that.
Fred Armisen, Jeff Bridges, Jay-Z, and Tyra Banks.
Wasn't that insane? Was that not crazy?
It was. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. The SoCal Helpful K-Rock. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show, Bean makes us guess the best, maybe worst, wedding photographer ever.
I would hire her.
Matt Bellany from The Hollywood Reporter talking about nobody wanting to host the Oscars.
Isn't that interesting?
Huh.
You would think everybody would want that. No one does.
I guess the people that are famous and desirable enough for us to want to do the job don't need it.
Yeah, probably. Christmas party disasters, we'll take your calls on. And we've got tickets in the pit for both nights of the K-Rock Absolute Almost.